the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
The red lights have come on again, which is an absolute surefire signal that the episode 11, season 605 of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast is underway. And Kingy, we're doing a very, very early in the week edition of the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast.
There's a reason for that.
Yes, the Bool is on this week, so I'm heading down there tomorrow, and I'll be remaining hydrated for the next 3 days. No, very quiet tomorrow night.
How much work do you have to do over the next 3 days? So for those who don't know, you work for racehorse trainer Simon Wilde.
Yes.
Now, this is basically his Melbourne Cup carnival, because he's trying to find as many winners as possible
tough.
His home carnival. Yeah,
absolutely. We've got about, I think it was about 35 runners.
Have you?
For the 3 days. So I'm busy, Lizzie Kingy.
Yeah,
once Thursday hits, you're right. So Thursday night could be a night of refreshment.
Will you be back in Geelong by about 3:30 Saturday afternoon for us?
Yes,
to go
I'll definitely be back. I'll be back Friday. But now, looking forward to the carnival. The weather forecast isn't ideal, so we'll have to see what happens there.
It's never ideal.
No, it's the last 2 weeks. The last 2 years has been okay.
Yeah. We've had some horrors, though.
There have been some horrors. 3 years ago was a horror, and this is shaping as a horror. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But look, you've got to get round it. The punters get round it. The fans get down there. And if you've never been, you don't have to be a race fan to like it. It's basically it's a sausage fest, Kingy, for want of a better phrase.
Blokes, and as far as the eye can see.
It's a schoolies for blokes.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah,
and half of Geelong's male population migrates down there.
You don't need to know anyone, because you'll know 400 people are walking in the gate. So it's a really good carnival. It's an older crew, and everybody remains hydrated from go to woe.
And it marks exactly halfway between the Melbourne Cup and the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
When this finishes, we actually start looking
towards the... We're hit May already, if you can believe that.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Anyway, enough about the Warrnambool Carnival.
Can I use the word horror?
Why?
Well, when North Melbourne led by 7 points the 21-minute mark of the third quarter, I thought we were in for a horror.
Well, I was starting to sort of twitch on the seat, Kingy, is
what
I was
doing. Were you Bruce and Ian?
Well, I wasn't Bruce and Ian. I was half of Bruce. I was. You were starting to think this is perhaps not going how we thought. I think it's more. Geelong certainly were off. Their skills weren't great, were they? They were missing targets. They were fumbling. It's been a bit of a trait across this season. I reckon first game particularly. Obviously they lost that. They're probably never winning that. We've spoken about that. They've just been a bit fumbly at times, the Cats, and they certainly were fumbly in the first half. And there was some uncharacteristic mistakes from players you don't normally associate with that. Tom Stewart kicks out from fullback. How many times would he have kicked out and it's gone straight to the opposition, who then turned around and kicked it straight back over his head for a goal?
Less than a handful.
Well, I don't know has it ever happened?
No.
May have happened a couple of times, but it's not something we associate. His kicking's been a bit off this year, Tom Stewart, hasn't it?
Mm.
Hey? What are you writing down, Kingy?
Just to talk about his 200th game this week.
Oh, good. I thought you were editing that out. I think I didn't say anything there that was...
Unless you were to tell a joke about Tom Stewart and a nudist colony.
Yes, which you go. I could tell the Bluetooth story.
No.
Do you want me to tell that one?
No.
Nobody gets offended with their king. No, we don't mention any names.
Did you like?
There's no groups.
Did you like how I put the little sound effect in?
Yes, I did. I did. Every time we edit something out, yeah. So like you'd be editing. I could tell a joke right now that you get it out.
Yeah, but you're not.
What?
No. What? It's Monday up
No, there. Jared Griffin, he told me he loves the jokes. It's the only reason he listens. If we don't tell jokes,
he
won't listen.
I'll give you Jared's number.
Well, I don't need to ring him and tell him, because I don't want to offend him on the phone. Rather than being offended through a podcast. And
then we get a listener.
And then he can't see me, yeah.
Yeah, right. Now, anyway, so yes, Tom Stewart has been
a bit off.
A bit skew-whiff.
He has, yeah, skew-whiff. And he's such a good kick normally. He's playing quite well. But yeah, he has been a little bit off. I was going to say that, yeah, Geelong was certainly off, but I think it's also a bit of a measure. We need to sort of dip our little bit to the improvement of North Melbourne. Now, they'd be bitterly disappointed with the way they folded up in that game. I mean, at one stage there, Geelong were trailing by 7 to then suddenly leading by 40-something, which was quite extraordinary, Geelong had 15 inside 50s in about a... Th- probably a 25-minute game time from towards the end of the third quarter till the 20-minute mark of the last quarter. There was a 25-minute window there where they had 15 inside 50s.
How many goals did they
And they kicked 11 goals in one.
That's incredible conversion.
Unbelievable. I mean, that there's something has gone horribly wrong for that to happen, given how well North Melbourne had played for 2.5 quarters.
Yep.
Because Geelong had only kicked, what, 5 or 6 goals to that point? Anyway, North have improved. We need to... They have got a lot of high-end talent that is quite young, but they've improved. Geelong were able to weather the storm. Not sure they weathered the storm that well, but then they were able to get on top. And once the floodgates opened, they completely opened. From Cat's perspective, it was good to see Close and Ollie Henry combine for, I think, 28 possessions between them, which is the first time that has happened for quite some time, those two getting that much of the ball. Close played quite well. He intercepted a couple of handballs. He got involved.
He was a bit stiff not to kick that nice goal.
Yeah, he was. Absolutely hit the post. It was a good effort. So him playing well as a bonus. Henry playing well as a bonus.
Manor. Obviously.
Manor kicking 4. He's had an up and down season. We spoke to him post-game.
Interesting how he spoke about mindset and who he'd sat down with Chris Scott and James Raleigh, but also Andrew McDonald, the Australian cricket coach, who is on the board of the Cats.
Andrew McDonald, saw him refreshing wildly up at the St. Joseph's Newtown game.
Right.
Yeah. He likes a fizzy drink,
does
Andrew.
He?
Yeah,
he lives very close to...
Yeah, his kids can go to St. Pat's.
Yeah.
So his son was in my daughter's year.
Right.
So he can refresh, and he likes to refresh.
Good.
He likes to play golf too. He's a good fella, actually.
He's a great
Andrew,
player.
Yeah,
great
he's player. A very good fella. So, he's on the board, is he? What does he do?
Didn't you, weren't you listening
to I was listening. Grant McCabe. Grant. Sorry, we can't call him Grant. Grant. And he went to Newcomb High.
Did he?
Yeah, and they're calling him Grant.
Yep.
Surprised he survived to the age he has, going around with Grant at Newcomb High.
Right.
Anyway, he was on King. He was sort of Terry Alderman, wasn't he?
He was line and length.
He was very... There was nothing sort of coming up under your chin.
No.
There was... It was all just sort of prod forward and just tap it back to him.
Yeah.
And then see him out and then wait for Murali Duraly to come on at the other end. So, he was... Look, he was fine. I'd never heard of him, in fairness. Did you know the first time I've ever heard of him? I didn't know the Geelong president was.
Didn't you?
No. Absolutely not.
Did you think it was still Craig Drummond?
No, I had no idea it was.
Right.
Old Craig, the golf drummer. No, he's at the AFL, is he?
Yeah, he's chair of the AFL.
I don't follow that king. Honestly, I did not know who our president was until you said to me last week, "We're getting on the president of the Cats," and I didn't want to sound like an absolute buffoon by saying, "Who's that?" So I said, "Oh, right, And then I waited for you. I threw you into it beautifully, so you'd say his name, and then I go, "Oh, right." Then I'm thinking to myself, "Never heard of him, ever."
Yeah.
So anyway, now we have. He was a lovely fella, King.
Yes, he was. Do you know the Cats' disposal efficiency was 76.5%?
Yeah, but that could be so misleading, though. I mean,
which actually 5%.
What was it up until halfway through the third quarter?
No, that I don't know. But it was actually 5% up on their season average.
I think there's so many possessions in a game now that can be very, very misleading. What are the turnovers? Scores from turnovers? They're the probably more meaningful stats other than just your holeless, bowless disposal percentage because... Yeah, they chip it around the back half and, you do all that. I'd love to know, and they probably, I don't know whether they break it down into certain passages of play for that disposal efficiency, rather than me kicking it to you in the back half and then you kicking it to Connor O'Sullivan and then kicking it back to Zach Guthrie and the ball's moved forward about 4 metres and there's 4 possessions that all hit the target. That comprises your 76.5%.
Yeah.
When you're going full, what about kicks? I'd love to know your disposal efficiency on kicks that travel more than, say, 35, 40 metres. What's your disposal efficiency then?
It's going to be less.
I wonder, is that a stat, Kingy?
Oh,
do you think that's a stat?
Champion data could probably break it down for
you. Do you think that is a good stat that I've just come up with?
It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kicks going.
Effective kicks that travel more than 30 metres.
Gaining meterage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Decent meterage.
Yeah. Or if effective kicks that travel at least a percentage forward, more than. More than 10 metres forward. So it can be a side, but those kicks just go backwards. Anyone could pull that off.
Yeah, but that also, too, is part of the tactic of build. You find your way, you can't find a way out, so you have to go back to go, all right, well, you've got to go back to go forward.
You're trying to draw out the defence.
Yes.
By switching and then getting them to come out to stop the uncontested mark, and then you go forward.
Making them work.
And the team that does that very well is Brisbane. They're very good at that. And the team that, Jared's team, Carlton, they don't do much well, do they? I watched that when we got home after our game, Kingy, on Saturday night. And
did you?
Carlton were abominable.
Yeah. They've got a real issue after half time.
I don't know, even they were just, it was hard to watch if you, and I don't know.
They did Carlton. Lead during.
I was hoping that Carlton would cause an upset because I'm not a big fan of the Saints or Ross Lyon. So,
we know that.
Anyway, in the end, they got absolutely pizzled. The Cats, I was going to say, King, the other one, I watched the Sunday footy show on, that'd be on Sundays.
I'd actually watched it as well.
It's extraordinary. And they gave Jeremy Cameron votes in that game on Saturday.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They gave, the top two were fine. They gave.
So obviously Holmes.
Holmes
and Cherry.
Yep. They were one and two.
Manor would have been thereabouts.
Do you remembering this or this is it definitely was Holmes and Cherry.
Yeah.
There was three Cats. Cherry was the North.
Yeah.
And I reckon he might have been right. It might have been Manor. And the fourth one was Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
He fell off the couch.
No.
I thought, wow.
No.
How could they miss Connor O'Sullivan in that?
The coaches' votes.
Yeah. What are they?
I can tell.
Does Connor O'Sullivan get a vote? No.
I believe he did get a vote in the coaches' votes. They've come through this afternoon. Let me just.
He was next Geelong's next best. Well, I'd argue he was Geelong's best player. I mean, it's hard. The game revolves around possessions, and Holmes was very good. Yes, and he's had it 30 odd times. So the weight of possession is always going to swing you in favour of the best players. I thought the job that Connor O'Sullivan did on Larky was that of a class defender. Now, Geelong didn't have a game. It wasn't like previous games against North Melbourne where Geelong had it all on their own terms for the whole game. They certainly didn't. Larky had some opportunities, and O'Sullivan was there with him every step of the way.
So this is interesting. Holmes got got 10 votes, so that means he's got the two fives. Cherry got 8 votes. He's obviously got the two fours.
Yeah, that's fair.
O'Sullivan got 5 votes. So it'd be interesting to know whether. Well, I would say that's 3 from Scott, 2 from Clarkson, potentially. Even so then. Clarkson's acknowledged.
Well, even Clarkson might have given him 3, knowing how good a job he did on a very good play.
Yeah. Manor got 4, so you'd think he's got a...
2 and 2.
A 2 and 2. Oisin Mullins got 2.
Yeah, well, that's Chris Scott.
Yeah.
That's not...
And Jai Simpkin got 1. That's Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah. Jeez, Jai Simpkin. He had no... Okay, so I have a debate with my cousin, who's a North Melbourne supporter,
mm-hmm.
who was... texting me throughout the game and telling me that I shouldn't be pumping up Dylan Stevens because he's no good and that I was getting it all wrong with... I didn't mention it on air, but I've never been a great fan of Jai Simpkin.
Yep.
I think he doesn't impact the game a lot. So at 3-quarter time, my cousin texts me saying, Stevens is no good, this and that. And I said, well, Jai Simpkin is... I think he's getting paid $1 million, isn't he?
It's a decent whack, yes.
And nobody would take him on. He wanted to leave North Melbourne and no one would take up the contract at the end of last year. So at 3-quarter time, he'd had 9 effective possessions and 1 tackle, Jai Simpkin, playing in the midfield. It just doesn't do enough. He ended up with 21, I think,
yeah.
And he kicked a couple of goals. Well, one was when the game was
and
away.
And that's why he's been shuffled out towards the wing more than around the footy.
I just don't think he's... I was talking to somebody, Kingy, who played for the Cats, and they like to play a bit of a game down there sometimes, some of them, that your output to compare to your dollars.
Hmm.
Who's bang for your buck?
Yeah.
Not the Geelong players, just within the league.
Yeah.
Who's bang for your buck and who's not bang for your buck?
Hmm.
I don't think that Jai Simpkin is bang for your buck at nearly $1 million.
But they wanted to keep him.
He'd be getting paid more, you reckon, than Max Holmes?
Although next Max Holmes, so the talk is
he's going to get his contract is going to be like it's going to be huge.
Well, they're talking about moving, tacking on years. So he's contracted to the end of 28. The talk is that there's going to be a movement soon on tacking on at least a couple more
to 30.
Yeah, so we'll hopefully find out something in the next 24 to 48 hours because he actually does a spot now with Tom and Loggy.
He's not going to tell you that,
but he'll agree. It's been reported. They'll ask the question, and he'll say, "Yeah, look, it's being handled." He's not going to say yes, but he's going to say, "Oh, look, my manager's handling it." Blah blah blah.
Do you think the Cats are trying to get ahead of the curve so they don't have to pay him as much? When do you say his contract's up to 2028?
Yeah,
so he's got another 2 years on top of this,
and then factor in Tassie and all that sort of stuff as well. Tassie are going to have a war chest.
Yeah. Well, that'd be good if they could do that. I mean, to have Shannon Neal locked away till 30.
Yeah.
That's a really good bit to pull.
And Smith too, they're looking at, well, I think Smith, it's more about a little bit of a tickle.
You would.
Financially.
Have you ever had one of those?
Financial tickle?
Have you ever had a financial tickle?
No.
Huh?
No.
Never.
Oh, maybe.
What about any other sort disgusting. Of... What about a bit of slap and tickle?
No.
Have you ever had that?
Wasn't... No, Ben, why do you have...
The only time... Do you know the only time we get asked for sex? On application forms.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, nice one, Moz. Boom, boom. There was this guy. There was this guy.
Right. Anyway, Tom Stewart's 200th this week.
Yeah, he's been...
What a wonderful career.
We keep saying that, Kingy, don't
we? Didn't debut till he was 25.
There's more milestones for the Cats than something that has an enormous amount of milestones. Can you think of anything offhand?
A nursing home with a bunch of 99-year-olds.
Yeah, different sort of milestone though, Kingy. He's celebrating with soup at those.
Yeah, a little bit more sedate.
Yeah, and maybe sort of a you know, a curried egg sandwich, although maybe at that age that's not the way to go.
That just would be your last.
Just in case you follow through later on after you've dangled the Lipton into the...
There's enough fibre, but there's too much fibre, Ben.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there, Kingy. I went to see my mother, who's in a nursing home in Newport.
Right.
And she's quite able-bodied, my mother. She's allowed to go out for a walk, and she goes for two walks a day. But there's this lady there who lives in the room next to her, and her name's Enid. You should see Enid. She's an extraordinary unit. She'd have to be 110, I reckon.
Really?
And she's still going.
That's unbelievable.
And she goes for a walk herself with her walk, and I see her walk past Mum's window, and the window's only about 3 metres wide. It takes Enid about 4 minutes to get from one side of the window to the other side of the window. And I say to Mum, look, there's Enid, Mum, there's Enid out there on the burst. Anyway, Enid, it's...
Yes, back to Tom Stewart.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 24 he was when he debuted in 2017. Over there in Perth.
Yeah, look,
he's had a great year. Great career.
He has.
Five-time All-Australian.
Five-time. Yeah, that's pretty good going. Oh, look, he's been a marvel. He's probably, you know, an indication that players can slip through the cracks as younger players. And Geelong have probably been at the... I mean, we don't go through every list forensically as much as we do the Cats list, but, you know, if you're thinking of players like Tom Atkins, you know, Mark Blitzarves, obviously Tom Stewart, Sean Manor, who are some others, Kingy, that haven't been taken as young players?
Close.
Well, he was 22, was he, or 21?
Yep.
I mean, you're thinking of Blitzarves, Stewart, Atkins, yep. Manor. Now, Manor's not getting the opportunity to play a million games because he's already 28.
If he got to 150, it would be a good result.
Oh, he's only in the 40s. What do you have to play for another 33?
Another 5 years.
I don't know about that.
If you're coming in a bit later, though.
Oh, I don't think once your pace goes, he's not slow, but he's not blazing either. I mean, hopefully he does, but I wouldn't be betting on him playing till he's 33. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I would have thought, you know, 30, get him to 32 and see how things are going. But just the fact that they've been able to get these players and they come in and they're more than just bit players. You know, they're not the player that comes in and Kingy, what's happened? You've had those curried egg sandwiches, I think. I mean, Blitzarves and Stewart are key. So's Atkins.
Yep.
Now, Manor is shaping as a key. So they're getting these players from what you would probably classify from obscure sources and then developing them into key players at their footy club. And, you know, that's part of the reason that they're successful, because you have that layer of solid drafting, and then you have that layer of, which I'm... Yeah, that so solid drafting in that you, when you do have a reasonably high pick,
yep,
you get it right. Connor O'Sullivan is a case in point. Max Holmes is a case in point. Sam De Koning is a case in point. Who else have we got, Kingy, who was relatively high, top sort of 35 in the draft for the Cats? Trying to think of the list. There's three there.
Mm.
And then you're able to recruit as a destination club absolute high-profile stars, Dangerfield, Cameron.
Yep. Smith.
And then you're able to look at, and this is a part, slash recruiting, you know, slash talent ID, you're able to get players like the ones we've just mentioned from different sort of sources. Yeah, I mean, I know he's not playing at the moment, but we can include Tyson Stengel in that.
Yep.
I mean, they got him off the scrap heap where no one else was probably looking at him. The thing is, with the way the AFL is set up, is that you have to have different mechanisms to improve your list or maintain the success of your list. It can't just be all the draft. It can't just be all free agents. It can't just be all rookie picks.
Yeah.
It's got to be a mixture. And if you look at Geelong's list, there's a really good mixture of players, of different, a variety of players, and they've been really good at doing that for quite some period of time. And that's why they've been able to be at the top of the tree for such a long period.
Yep. Collingwood Saturday night, so Scott Pendlebury equals the league record. He'll break it, well, we think it 2 weeks later against the West Coast Eagles. Like, they're manipulating it, so he's doing it at the MCG.
What do you think of that?
They've got the luxury of being able to do it.
Well, not really. They've only won four games, haven't they?
Four and a half. But he is 37, 38 years old. So they are trying to... They want to be part of September, and they want him firing at the end of the year. We know how good he still is based on his performance on Anzac Day.
Yeah. Do you reckon he'll get it 43 times against the Cats? And kick two?
If he's allowed to.
No, he won't get it 43 times. Do you think the Geelong beat Collingwood?
Yep.
Few could be some injury concerns for the Pies. Perryman did his hamstring, he'll be out.
Yep.
Darcy Cameron was in all sorts of trouble with knee and ankle injuries. Yep. Are they saying he might be about?
Yeah, well, we haven't got the update yet.
Like he didn't look good.
Collingwood are good with updates on the Tuesday.
There would have to be some serious doubt on Darcy Cameron playing, I would have thought. I watched that game last week, as many people probably did, and he looked to be in quite a bit of trouble with an ankle. I think prior to that it was the knee. Perryman isn't a high-profile player, but he's having a very good year for Collingwood, and he's a loss because he's a bit versatile. Yep. He can play in defence. He could go up onto a wing. He can do a little bit of tagging through the midfield. He has some real versatility about the way he plays. He's at this stage, I would say, he is a better version of Mullen.
Yep.
For the Cats. Like, a lot better. I'm not saying Muller won't get there, but he's got a lot more runs on the board, Perryman. And he's actually quite a solid player. You know, so he's a loss.
They're not too dissimilar age, Mullen and Perryman.
Well, Perryman was a pretty high pick, though, wasn't he, of GWS. Yeah. So he's a good player that you won't know a whole lot about. But they will miss him. Nick Dacos looked sore last week. Still kicked a goal from 55.
Does Mullen go to him?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think I would have thought you'd be tempting... You'd be absolutely tempting fate not to do that, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Why? Give me a reason why you wouldn't.
No, I can't.
Does Bobby Hill come back in this week?
Not sure.
Kicked three in the twos, didn't he? I can't think of any reason, any logical reason, to why you wouldn't just send Mullen to Dacos. With Perryman out as a midfield mix, does Bo McCreary come back in? He missed last week. Jeremy Howe. They had a few out last week, Pies. So if they're still missing McCreary, if they're still missing Howe, what was it saying on the injury update from last week, Kingy? Were they just a one-weeker?
They only had three players on their injury list last week, Di Mattia, McInnes and Membry.
Right. Mm. Well, McCreary didn't play.
Yeah.
Howe didn't play.
No, but like Jack Henry wasn't on Geelong's injury list either.
No, which means is that the potential then for them to come back? If they get Pendlebury back, they get McCreary back, and they get Howe back.
Yep.
They're three big inclusions, and then they potentially... Well, they'll lose Perryman. He'll definitely won't be playing. And I would have thought Darcy Cameron, and does Nick Dacos get up for the game?
Who goes to Elliott? So do you know who the perfect match for Jamie Elliott is?
Jed Bewes. Yeah, but he's magnet. I think he's magnet. It's fallen off the board and onto the carpet.
And then the cleaners come in. Vacuumed up.
Yeah. So it's currently in a waste disposal setting somewhere, Tom, and they're looking for it. They're trying to get it back, but they haven't been able to get a new one.
No.
So Jed Bewes won't be playing. That's the only thing I'm sure of.
Well,
we said he was playing last week, and he didn't.
No.
So we don't want to make any predictions because we're not going well with our predictions. Like the clairvoyant, Kingy.
Yeah, which one?
The one that was constantly predicting snowy winters.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it turned out he'd been sold a snow globe.
Right. Boom, boom.
Yeah, nice one, boys.
Yes. Oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
Is this the week? Yeah.
Is this the week what?
Yes, but Stanley plays.
I thought there was a good little bounce back from Big Junk.
Yep.
Mind you, he's playing on a bloke who's a gun.
Yeah.
He had 30 possessions, Jerry. And 16 clearances.
Yep.
What the hell? He's an absolute gun. Junk would have learnt plenty. I didn't think he got he wasn't as poor as he was the week before. He really had a bad one the week before, which is going to happen when you've only played a few games. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Is he built a bit differently, Junk?
Maybe.
Does he
just keep going?
Just keep soldiering on?
Perpetual motion.
He doesn't say two words, I know that.
Yep.
Very quiet.
No, he just gets stuff done. He's a action speaker louder than words.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody because he got billeted out, didn't he, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was talking to the
family.
Yes. He had a few things to say about Big Junk. Anyway, I can't divulge them here, Tom, but he did say that Dunk doesn't have a whole lot to say. Oh. He's a man of few words, like you, Kingy.
Hopefully Jack Henry's back. Although they'll be very cautious when it comes to his feet.
Oh, you've got to be cautious when it comes to your old
plates of meat.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it's nothing serious. If he's not in this week, you know, there might be a little bit to it. Have you heard any whispers?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Nothing?
No.
Right. Well,
Myers maybe to play this week?
Well, I'm a good body language reader, Kingy, I reckon. I'm watching Chris Scott's press conferences, pre-game and post-game.
Yep.
And last week, I just love it when he says, I don't usually talk about these things, and then for the next 7 minutes he'll talk about it.
And he's been saying that for 16 years.
Yeah, I know. It's just sort of bizarre. I don't know how he does it to himself. I don't like to say this, but and then 4 minutes later, he's still going on the same topic. So, Grind Myers, you want to talk about Grind Myers, and then he spoke about him for about 3 minutes. And I, from what he said, 1 minute he was saying that he was, you know, it was all looking okay. We're not sure how, you know, surgery. I don't think surgery's happening, but, you know, I don't know when he'll be back. I'm not sure about it. And then towards the end, he said he trained really well today.
Well, he trained really
and
well.
And he said in his own, I think, with paraphrasing, he basically said, when I said, why is he not playing, I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah.
So I would thought Grime Myers is back in this week. Yeah.
So, no, he moved. I watched training Tuesday or Wednesday last week, and the 20-odd minutes I got to watch Grime Myers move. No, and with no strapping.
Yeah. I think they probably thought they could get away with it against North Melbourne to a degree.
Correct.
In the hope that he is. In saying that, I don't know that timeout is necessarily. He's not getting better.
No.
As such. Nothing. I don't think anything's changing. Whether or not he experiences some soreness from the injury, from playing, I don't know the answer to that. So by not playing him last week, he will be fresher for this week. But, you know, my understanding is that this issue is not going away.
Yeah.
So by resting him, he's doing nothing in terms of the injury healing.
Yep.
So it's just whether there's soreness there. But I glean that my take on it would be that he'd be back in this week off what the coach said in the lead-up to the game against North Melbourne.
Do you like questions?
Oh, Kingy, I absolutely love questions.
First one off the cab off the rank is?
Is? Mr. Tedesco. I advise you to watch the Mr. Tedesco episode of Family Ties. Family Ties was one of the great shows.
Were you a Justine Bateman fan?
Not really. I liked the mum.
Did you?
Yeah.
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yeah.
Right.
I did get up and about.
Damien Tedesco, boys.
Mr. Tedesco.
Great call once again. Hey, by chance, what's going on with the internet at GMHBA? Oh, listening to the useless. Third and fourth quarter dropping out was not good.
Yeah, Jared, if you're listening, yeah. Jared, please.
The internet.
Well, there's this thing called Starlink. Can you please get it?
I think they're working on it.
Yeah, but we've been working on it for about 2 years.
On the plus side, good.
I mean, we can send people to the moon.
Good to see a team stand
we
up.
Can go to, we can now, we've got a satellite that can see Uranus, Kingy. Pluto, all those planets.
Does Edwards get managed this week? Let's hope we can get the win for Stewart. Marshall, better from Manor and to a lesser extent, close. Oshin, Sully, Neil getting better with every game. Apart from that, not much to get excited about. We're not playing well. Get Tanner in the midfield and Warple back into the twos. If we're half serious, we beat the Pies.
Yeah, Warple is, I think the club would describe it as a work in progress. Yeah. And they'll just say he's finding his feet in a new system. And they bring out all those rubbish cliches. He's just struggling a little bit for consistency. I couldn't imagine that they would tip him out of the team. But he was very poor in the first half, got better in the second half, albeit the game was all one way for the last 40 minutes. So sort of hard to be, you know, what do you look at? Do you look at when the game was on the line or do you look at it when it was? That's why I sort of like the game of of Close and Henry. They were actually okay when the game wasn't all going one way.
Yep.
Whereas Warple got involved once Geelong got on top.
Trevor Young on the plus side from Saturday. Lesser known lights are starting to shine. O'Henry displaying effort and creativity. Mullen looking more confident with each hit out. Ditto SDK and O'Sullivan. Some wretched disposal from senior players. Yes. Who should know better what's happening there. We did touch on it a little bit earlier. Well, we don't know.
They're just, well, there's nothing happening. There's just poor kicks. But there's not poor kicks from players you associate with being poor kicks.
Arngold.
You know who had a howler in terms of kicking in the first 2.5 quarters? Absolute howler. And he's not. You wouldn't classify him as an elite kick by any stretch, but he's usually reasonably
Bailey
safe.
Smith,
no,
he's.
Well, he's but he's can be a little
Zach
bit.
Zach Guthrie?
No.
No.
Tom Atkins.
Oh, yes.
He was missing the side. He couldn't hit the side of a bar. Yes.
Arngold, apologies for my left field question last week. I don't have to apologise. There's no stupid questions.
What was the left field question?
No, I can't remember. Only stupid answers. But there appeared to be a mindset pattern looking at the Suns, Frio, Adelaide, the Hawks and Port. I second Ben's thoughts on bringing Tool to get in your park. What are his thoughts on bringing the Family Values Anniversary Tour to KP?
Absolutely. If Jared could pull that off.
That's not happening, Ben. I don't think Tool are coming to Geelong.
Well, they pack it out. People come from all over Australia to see
all
that.
All over the globe.
Yeah.
Token opener, Mick Howley. Where do we go to vote for Reg Tuohy as best new talent in the Football Broadcasting Awards?
He likes to break for the Cats, doesn't he?
He does.
He's got a good sense of humour, Reg, which is what we like.
He does fit right in.
He does see things. He's a bit one-eyed. We're a bit one-eyed, but he's even more one-eyed.
Yeah. Frank Perotta, should we start considering Big Reece Stanley as the number two ruck to help out Mitch Edwards? I don't know whether they'll go with both of them in the one team.
No, I
would. Or does 23 players with no sub open the door for that to happen?
What clubs are getting away with two big ruckmen? Collingwood, Cameron and Steen.
Hawthorn.
Yeah, Reeves and Meek. They're very experienced.
Fremantle.
Well, Cox
has been in.
Yeah, there's two. There's three. So you're arguing there. Brisbane? Not really.
No, Fort's been carrying that.
Fort, yeah. That look, I'd be... Oh, I don't know. I'd be reticent. To have a Stanley at 40, what's he, 39? 45? How old is he?
35.
Yeah. Have a 35-year-old bloke who hasn't played all year, rucking along, who, let's be honest, at his age, he's not playing anywhere else, I don't reckon, than in the ruck.
No.
He has to come in and be a ruckman, and I don't know how long, even long he could do that for.
Well, that's got to be off the bench, though. That would be just be Edwards and Stanley.
Yeah, so you Edwards is at the... He's not going to be able to. He's a true old-fashioned ruckman. I don't know if you just want to have... I mean, the thing I'm thinking is that Jackson is more like an on-baller for Frio, rucky who can go into the ruck. Meek and Reece, particularly Meek actually gets involved in the game. He actually can find a bit of the ball. So that's... I mean, I know people will say Stanley can do that, and yes, you're probably right, he can. I just wonder about the mix of a very inexperienced ruckman and a very old ruckman. When you've got players who can pinch hit in the ruck, you know, up forward and down back, you've got maybe DeConing can, if the throw-in is down back, you've got Neil who can do it. Neil could go into the middle for a little bit. DeConing could maybe go into the ruck, albeit, you know, I'm not a big fan of when that happens. But you've got guys who can pinch hit if you need it, rather than bringing in a bloke who really all he can do is come and pinch hit in the ruck and then go back off the ground again.
Off the Big Footy Forum, Daz Broncos first off.
Oh, big good, Daz.
Good game eventually, but gee willikers, it was a mess getting there. Good to see Close Manor Ollie Henry get going and having good games after a dry spell.
Yes, unbelievable.
Scratcher, his kicking is pure footy porn. Yeah. He's a beautiful kick.
It is. It's
very, very...
Do you have to age verify that?
It's very aesthetic.
Have you had to age verify anything?
I don't know what you're talking about there, Ben.
What?
I'm not sure what you're talking about there.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, you need to age verify now to watch adult entertainment.
Any chicken and corn king, they've cut it all off.
We have to give Edwards...
Do you think there's facilities at the moment that are full?
We have to give Edwards a spell. He's taken every task to him, but he's earned the rest, in my opinion. PFD, which is Dangerfield, has been a legend of the club, but that a buzzer you hear is like the end coming fast. He's got the burst still, but getting 8 kicks a game ain't going to cut it. Needs management every fortnight at this point. O'Sullivan, a freak, 20 years old and so good for his age. Got the next captain written all over him. And what a pick at 11. Had we had a better pick 11? Oh, God, I'd have to go and have a look who was taken at pick 11 for the Cats.
Pick 11?
Yeah.
When?
For Geelong any time. It's only about a pick 11.
Oh, He's one. Well, it ended up being pick 14, didn't it?
No, it's pick 11.
Oh, it's pick 11. Yeah. Because the kid, who was the kid who got drafted with him? He was his guest, and he got drafted by the Giants. He kicked a couple of goals last night. Phoenix, someone.
Yeah, Gothard.
Yeah. That was his mate, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, both from that.
And he was surprised he got drafted so early. He kicked a couple of snags for the GWS.
Yeah. Dudas Maximus, the hard training block is something.
Has anyone ever been in a soft training block? Yeah. I've just been doing sweet Fanny Adams for the last 3 weeks, and it's actually served me really, really well. Everyone's always in a hard training block as opposed to a bugger all training block.
Yes. Inexplicable in-season losses. I guess this is the club's closely guarded IP. What do you know about it? How many times a season? Why don't we stagger play? Is it just extra weight sessions? I don't know how they do it anymore. There used to always be one. Bomber Thompson used to. There was always one around late July. Geelong had one, but that's a long time ago.
Oh,
they're conditioned differently.
Since the boffins with white coats and laptops have been taking over, I don't know that that happens anymore, does it?
No, I think they do a lot of their work in pre-season and just maintain.
And that's probably one of the benefits of the Cats is that they have so many players with so many pre-seasons under their belt who look after themselves pretty well in the off-season.
They call it residual fitness, Ben.
Have you ever had that?
No. I've never been fit.
Residual fitness. So that's probably an area where Geelong do have an advantage. And then you couple that with the fact that they do have some elite runners naturally. That it's a good mix. We've spoken about those elite runners. There's probably five or six of them who can run like frightened farmers. And have you ever seen a frightened farmer go?
If that bull's up.
As soon as there's a storm up, he's 17 paddocks across in about 2 seconds.
Howler 41, like me doing high school assignments, the Cats left it till late, but unlike me, they got it done easily. Thought Brad Close was back to near his best, getting little touches here and there, setting up teammates. Also thought Ollie Henry played his best game for some time. Five tackles, got involved. Shannon Neal, once again, kicking important goals in important times. He's growing nicely. Junk got a footy lesson, but to his credit, he had more hit-outs in the last quarter than Cherry Pie. I agree, a rest is needed. Hoping Warple is just taking a bit of settling in, a new team, new ways. Go Cats, and Benny, bring your coat. Warning is going to get cold and wet this week, English summer style.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that when I was walking in here, Kingy, that I need to get ready for that, but yeah.
You'll have to wear strides.
Yeah, I'll have to wear the Murray Rants. Yeah. I'll have to go the Murray Rants.
The Ranger, good call again, gents. It was good to see us turn from Mr. Hyde into Dr. Jekyll, and Mr. Hyde, alter ego, seems to be present too often. Given how opponents can seem to move through the centre lane easily when Mr. Hyde is present, I was pondering if we are putting too much into attack and leaving our defence open. Is that your take from watching beyond the camera? It doesn't explain our skill errors, however. A question that can be answered here, is it possible to order a couple of cases of K-Rox Geelong Lager for shipping up to Brisbane?
Absolutely.
I have replied to the Ranger.
Can you get that sorted?
I think Blackmans can look after that for him.
Oh, that's extraordinary. The Ranger will be on the fizz. So, he'll be on the fizzy drinks, Kingy.
All right.
The way the game's going, it's high scoring, it's high octane, it's you move the ball quickly. So I think, the modern day footy is that you are going to get you're going to get found out every now and then if there's an errant kick or a turnover or, a good bit of play from the opposition where they mark the ball clean, intercept, and then move it quickly back the other way. I think that's going to be modern footy. What happens, though, is that the better teams have an ability to stop that or a better percentage of stopping that. Like we saw, and that's probably one of the problems with North Melbourne. We saw North Melbourne to be able to do it for a certain period of time, and then suddenly they'd, 16 goals kicked on them in the second half. Yep. They couldn't maintain that defensive pressure across the whole four quarters. Carlton, and Carlton, everyone say they're a rubbish team, but how do you go from being in 3 goals in front of St Kilda to suddenly having, I think it was 7 or 8 goals in a row kicked on you in the blink of an eye? That's an inability to defend for a period of time.
Is that a fitness or a mindset
thing? Oh, well, it's probably a little bit of both. They lack the cattle, they lack the experience, they lack the fitness, so they fall away. St Kilda are far more. I mean, St Kilda got a pretty. They got a pretty seasoned team.
Yeah, far more.
They're not playing a whole heap of kids.
No.
I mean, they have got some kids in there, but even their kids now, like Owen, Philippou, they're not playing their 10th game.
No.
So, you've got. They got 10 blokes who probably played.
150 plus.
More?
Yep.
Wouldn't they? I mean, even Dougal Howard's back in. He'd been around since Adam was in the cadets.
Wilkie.
Brad Hill.
Dan Butler.
Sinclair.
Yep.
They've got heaps of them.
Yep.
I think they had McRae play.
No, he's playing in the twos.
Anyway, they've got. They're not playing. You know, they're not like a Richmond or a West Coast or a.
No, they're not young.
No, they're not. Yeah, young.
Young. See you Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to King. Oh, it's going to be a really big game. This is a huge game for Geelong in the context of their season to get to 6-3, with Brisbane to come.
Yeah, it's a free hit in Brisbane then,
and then Sydney. That'll be a huge game. This is a really pivotal game for the Cats because I've watched a fair bit of Collingwood because they're usually on the sort of Thursday night, Friday night time slot, and I don't reckon they're much good. In fairness, they're very disciplined, and they have enough high end talent to be competitive, but I don't. They're not winning the premiership.
No.
I don't think they're a top six team. So if Geelong. Well, we'll see where the Cats are at. If they play well, they'll win, I think, the Cats. I'm pretty confident that they'll win. So it's a really good test against a team that will be that is well-schooled and has enough talent to keep you on edge. But the good teams are beating Collingwood this year. So we'll find out whether the Cats are a good team.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.